Hi, my name is Phil Metzger, and in 1992, I moved to Moscow, Russia. From there, I lived in the beautiful Central European country of Hungary, where my family and I spent the next 20 years living, learning, and sharing about Jesus. Different foods, culture, and language, but underneath it all, we discovered the most amazing people. We learned that to share the gospel effectively, we had to adjust. We had to cross cultures. Now we're back in the U.S., and we're discovering that this country is a melting pot of culture. This show is committed to helping Christians connect to those who think, believe, and live differently than them. This is Crossing Cultures. All right, well, thanks for joining us on this episode of Crossing Cultures. Remember, the whole focus of this podcast is to recognize that we all come from different cultural backgrounds. We see, we feel, we hear things from our own perspective. And yet, I believe God wants us to be able to cross those cultures to create deeper relationships, greater respect, greater unity, and ultimately, it's a greater opportunity for sharing the gospel of Jesus. So I am joined by my good buddy, Nick.
What's up, brother?
Here we go again, baby.
Let's do it.
This is good stuff. I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah.
You know, when we were sitting down to talk about, like, what are the topics that we need to come up with, this wasn't on our list originally, not in the beginning. And but it kind of, as we were writing things down, it became apparent.
Right.
We need to talk about this.
Absolutely. I think especially, too, in the beginning of kind of like starting to unpack this issue, as big as it is and as old as it is, but just how to insert yourself into the solution.
Right.
This is something I think we have to understand for sure.
Totally. And so so you're wondering, what is the topic then for this week? The topic is colorblindness, I guess is the, I don't know how to say that right. But, you know, it's kind of a phrase, and I've heard it said. I've heard it said, and so I want to kind of try to unpack what I think people are meaning, and then you could add to that as well. Because, and maybe we're going to later talk, maybe not on this episode, but we want to take something that Jamar Tisby said about intentions versus impact, and we want to talk about that. But I think the intentions behind people when they say this, it usually comes from white people who are wanting their black friends or the black community to know, I don't look down on you because you are a different color than I am. I think that's the idea.
Right.
I don't think anybody says it like that, right? That would be...
No, yeah, which is fair. And I think, like we'll probably talk about in a minute, is just the intent is there. The sentiment is there. It's, you know,
but that's, not everybody understands sentiment, right? Not everybody understands intent. So it's like, oh, I'm colorblind, meaning I don't see color. When I think the message that we're hearing from so many great communicators on this, and the one that we really hold to, is like, not only do we need to see color, but we need to embrace color.
We need it, yeah.
Not my color, but that there is color.
Exactly.
And so we want to talk about color blindness. And I thought it might be good, you know, we've done this a couple times now where we start by giving definitions.
Yes, please.
Because I just think like you start talking about something and then all of a sudden, whatever the way I understand those words is how I'm assuming you're meaning it.
Absolutely.
And so I want to just do that right now. Like, I'm going to start with the idea of racism. But before we just define racism, I want to define the idea of race. And this is something like we've kind of talked about. It's an interesting thing because the words race and ethnicity have been interchanging for a long time so that it becomes very difficult. And in fact, as I was researching this, sociologists, philosophers, cultural kind of experts, they use the words in different, you know, one will say, this is what race means. And then the other person current will say, no, that's what ethnicity.
Wow.
So I'm just going to acknowledge we don't know.
There's no consensus.
There's not a clear consensus, but maybe it's worth it to just kind of give some ideas that race is a group of people that share ancestry, culture, or cultural markers like a common language. And what I did understand was that starting back in like the 1700s, race was beginning to be defined by skin color. It doesn't mean that the world wasn't racist before the 1700s.
Right.
It just means that the way that we understood racism.
And meaning by that, you're saying skin color, meaning that there are attributes about the person that you can predict based on the color of their skin.
Based on the color of their skin. Somebody, and I talked about this at not too long ago, there was a scientist named Samuel Morton who his whole science was on the study of race.
And he was looking at the skull sizes.
Oh, yeah.
And you've heard
I've seen this guy.
Right? Like, I think they call it scientific racism, where he took skull sizes. He had five different groups of people, Caucasian, Asian, Southeast Asian, Native American, and black. And the white skull was bigger, which obviously, in his word, means bigger brain, smarter, better. And he concluded, and you can imagine how the South in America grabbed this.
And this scientist was of which race?
He was a white guy.
Oh, interesting.
I know, It's a shocker there.
Interesting.
This was not a black scientist.
He was in the winning group.
He was in the larger skull size.
Got it.
By the way, his entire research was debunked and found to be like, the guy was a racist who used science to make his case. So it got me thinking, like, when we use these words race, for some people, just the very word is a trigger, you know, you're pushing me out of something. But originally, that was not the intent.
Sure.
It's just simply defining that we all come from an ethnic background, whether we choose it or whether we were born into it.
That's good.
You mentioned something to me about a story in Brazil.
Do you want to share
that now? I think that's cool.
Yeah, it was a friend of ours. So some really good friends of ours back when we lived in Chicago were from São Paulo. And they didn't come to the States until like later in life, maybe 30s or, yeah, like young 30s. So they had had an adult life in another country already, you know. So they come to the U.S. and I remember us having a conversation one time because they ended up getting really involved in this series of conferences called the Justice Conference. And so that was a lot of course, about social justice, about, you know, anti-sex trafficking, all these types of things. And one day she was saying, you know, it's been really interesting studying or seeing how Americans interact between colors. You know, she's like, because in Brazil, people from all different colors, all different, you know, ethnic backgrounds or different regional backgrounds from the world, you know, they're light ones, dark ones, super dark ones, super light ones, European looking ones. And so she's like, whatever the rainbow of colors we have in Brazil, we still all bond around our Brazilianness.
Right. Okay. You know, you're still Brazilian, whatever.
We are Brazilian. Yeah. And so there, she was like, you know, it's funny to me that you guys in America, and speaking to Americans, like you guys in America, there's like a black type of music and a white type of music, or like black movies and shows and white movies and shows. And it's like in Brazil, that concept is just, what does Brazilian mean then? You know, so it was just interesting to hear her talk, like, you know, depending on literally just your skin color in this country, your American identity is even split. Inside of that. So
that's why we have such a hard time, I think, here. And it's true in maybe a lot of countries where when you try to define culture or when you define ethnicity, quite often it's on a national level. Like, I'm Brazilian and I'm this. But then when you get in, and there's things that rally us, you know, I think of the Olympics, right? Americans are Americans, it seems like, in those moments.
Right.
But then these, it's not even a subculture. It's still a part of, like, it's a culture. You know, we have these smaller categories, but they're more defining than the national culture can be.
And this was actually interesting just from 4th of July weekend. And I ended up telling a friend about it that had another funny resource. But I went to go and put on, like, a 4th of July Pandora playlist. And I love Pandora. You know, if Pandora is listening, I love Pandora.
Sponsorship.
But it was interesting that when I hit 4th of July playlist, all of a sudden the only thing on the playlist was like these country songs.
Oh, interesting.
You know, it was like every picture, you know, the little thumbnail pictures on Pandora screen, it was like all these southern white dudes with their guitars singing America songs.
Because that's patriotic.
And I was like, I was thinking, you know, does that really represent, in my view, like the country I live in or my experience?
Is it because there's not country, like black,
or not even black,
know,
represent,
rap,
but
or,
just something,
you know,
else? Like literally the genre that they chose to represent 4th of July, our independence, was
that
southern country.
Right.
You know? And so I thought that was interesting. So I told our cousin about it. And he had something funny. He's like, yeah, there's actually a comedian that did a bit on, you know, the types of music that the different races create. And he's like, you've never heard a black person make a patriotic song. You know,
so true.
And there's no, like,
I think I saw that comedian.
Number one billboard, you know, of a black person celebrating being in the United States. And as funny as it is, it's kind of like you really can't. And he brought up some
like
of James Brown.
Sad.
Yeah, it's the funny side. Yeah. He brought up James Brown, you know, living in America and things like that. But Yeah, it's just
yeah.
It's
wasn't
so
he saying
funny.
Like James Brown? He's just acknowledging that he lives in America. Right. He's not celebrating it. Exactly. He's just I live in America.
Right. But I think it's really true, man. There's such a difference between how we define our experiences here,
yeah,
based on what we look like.
And race is this tricky subject. And so I want to try to define racism. Actually, let me rephrase. I'm not going to try. I'm just going to read a definition. Right. Oxford has a great definition on racism: prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against a person or people on the basis of their membership of a particular racial or ethnic group. Typically, it is one that is a minority or marginalized. So racism, a simple definition they give, belief in the natural superiority of one people group over another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good working definition. Yeah, that's good. It kind of works. And so to combat racism, we're hearing this, I'm colorblind.
Mm-hmm.
So I, here I am. I'm a white guy, and I'm, I know that's a shock here.
Wait, really?
Yeah. And here I am, and I'm trying to make you know that I'm not racist or whatever mm-hmm. the word is. I don't see color.
Yeah.
How does that impact you? And obviously, I'm not expecting you to speak for everyone.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But how does that impact you personally?
Yeah, so I think when I hear that, one, I'm thinking, thank you for what you mean by that.
Right.
But then I'm also hoping that you'll help me to develop that feeling a little bit more to state it in a way that's more helpful. And so what I mean is, thank you for saying you're not judging me or looking down on me based on how I look to you.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, when I think about what this color means that it's on my skin and the history of this color, like, for example, my mom's uncle was able to trace us back to, like, when we were fresh out of slavery.
Wow.
Through a bunch of these, like, DNA sites and everything. And so if you, all of a sudden, you want to accept me, but you don't see what the skin has brought into my past and into my life and into my, you know, the pain that's just been a communal thing that we share on a wide scale in this country, then we actually cannot get as close as I would like us to, or I would prefer us to, you know, as we're trying to really like relate to each other and do life together. I need you to see my color because it has a significant stake in what you know about my story.
So it's almost like, and I want you to continue, but I want to just kind of unpack that a little bit. By me saying colorblind, you're a gracious guy. Not everybody's going to see those intentions, but you do. Mm. But I'm limiting how deep our relationship can
absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. Huh. Because you know how it is in any relationship. It's, you know, you can get along well. That's like level one, you know, when you just get along together. But then the next level is how well you guys handle each other's pain points.
Wow.
You know, and how good you guys are at balancing your imperfections and things like that, and still letting those potential conflicts become points that are better toward the future of the relationship. You know, so if you're coming at me and saying that you're blind to something that has, you know, up until you said that, been maybe the what some people think is the most significant thing about me.
Right.
Then.
Right.
That's too big of a switch.
Yeah.
To be accurate. Or that's too big of a switch to
it's
be helpful toward what's true.
That's right.
You know, because of the very thing you're trying not to see is the only reason that we can trace my ancestors back to slavery.
Right. Exactly.
No sense.
Exactly.
So all of a sudden to be blind to it means you're blind to that.
To that as well. Yeah, so it's like I'm making it like it doesn't, like it's...
Yeah, and that...
Do you think that... I was just thinking about this while you were saying that. I was thinking, like, is it possible that, like, as a white kind of a European, obviously European in some background, like, we all share the same kind of background.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's just kind of a non... Like, it's all already known.
Right.
So we focus a lot more on the now.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Right? So, like, even, you know, when you hear things like, oh, come on, slavery was 200 years ago, right? That idea of, like, that shouldn't be defining who you are because I don't have any past that's like that.
Right. Exactly. And where it gets tricky, though, is obviously it's over. And obviously, even nowadays, it's unthinkable in at least our country for slavery, because slavery exists
hugely,
now more widespread than ever. But
big time,
in our country, it's unthinkable to enslave another person. But at the same time, if the effects of that thing are still carrying over,
right,
then that's something that we cannot just ignore. It's the same reason that
How do we not all know though the effects? How is it that you, growing up as you did, you're like you have this? Is it just because we're so separated? Do you know what I'm saying by that? Like,
that's a good question. Well, I think a part of it is
I'm opening a lot more than we planned.
No, it's good.
Sorry.
It's good. No, it's good because I think it's a good question in that I think that we are learning the extent to which it still is rippling through our society. And so I think just now, because of the things that erupted in the last couple of months, people are really going back in to see what has actually happened.
So the we that you're saying is all of us.
All of us.
Yeah.
I mean, we are all. I am learning as a black man just as much as you are about the history of what has happened between our two races
in
this country.
Yeah. And I feel like the one thing that's been different is that more white people make it feel personal. Mm-hmm. Than they did before. It's like cerebrally, like, oh yeah, this is wrong, this is bad, but it's not like personal. Mm-hmm. Oh, there was a story you were, or like a video that you told me you were watching.
Yeah, yeah, for getting ready for this. When I was searching colorblind stuff on the internet yesterday, I found a video of somebody they made where they were interviewing blind people about racism.
Oh, wow.
And it was like a 5-minute video. It wasn't like as well done as it probably could have been, the idea. But it was interesting because they asked them, like, if racism exists in the blind community.
Oh.
And say if there were six people that they, you know, cut between, pretty much all of them were like, yeah, I'm sure it does, you know.
Wow.
And it's like, it's really interesting.
It's learned behavior.
Right.
It's not what you
and
see.
And even one kid
behavior.
Goes, but they were asking, like, can you tell someone's ethnicity by their voice? And one kid goes, he's like, it's sad to say, but when I hear somebody maybe talking a certain way, maybe using a little bit more foul language, or if they aren't speaking as properly, in my mind, I just assume it's probably a black person.
Wow.
And he goes, I think that's probably terrible, but I have to. And he's like a young,
so
just
he's
a young
like,
white dude.
He's
yeah,
not
he,
trying to.
Yeah, he's just like, I just have to admit that I think we all have stereotypes that we grow up with because of our environment.
And he's blind.
And he can't see a thing, never seen anything in his whole life.
That's powerful. Because we almost imagine
Somehow faking to be colorblind would fix the issue.
Right.
But people who actually can't see anything still understand that it's a thing. And the kid himself, wisely as this teenage kid could have said, is I have to, you know, I'm sure I was raised with certain things that make me think this way.
Right.
It's just.
Or the stereotypes we put out in movies on TV.
He still is listening to people talk about other people.
Right.
All of these things that you're aware of, despite what you can physically see, obviously, in this case.
And all of that comes into this idea of like, oh, well, but I don't have any racist ideas. Like, yeah, but we've all been shaped by so much that is disparaging to a people group or uplifting another people group.
Exactly.
And a blind guy could acknowledge that. Wow, that's powerful.
Mm.
So let me ask you then, colorblind, I want to go back to it because you said it. I can't go deeper in my, like, we can't have a deeper relationship if I'm going to cut that off, which was maybe the reason I said I don't see color was so that we could go deeper.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then, and this is, again, we're opening up a lot of different things. Yeah. You know, I've heard this word a lot thrown around, the idea of being an ally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a whole nother subject for us, but like, what you're saying is like, when I say something like that, I need to be ready to just listen to how that affects you.
Right, exactly. It's honestly, like I think you said in another convo we had, where it's almost like a big marriage.
Yeah.
You know, and you know how it is as well as I do. When you say something to your wife, trying to express a certain idea that really, at the end of the day, you're trying to show you care or you hear her or something like that. But as much as your desire to show that care is valid and it's awesome, the way that she receives it still is going to be the litmus test.
Right.
And what you said means for the next iteration of your relationship, the next level up in your relationship, is the true test of if what you're saying is helping the situation,
right?
Or hurting the situation. So I think it's no different with the colorblind thing. It's almost as if you come to me and you share some significant source of pain.
Right.
Or maybe even I can tell based on what I've heard over the years, you know, Phil really, this thing about him
because
has caused him
about
great pain, you know, in his life. And you come to me, it's like, man, I love you, Phil. I love you, bro. And you know, the thing that you struggle with and your family struggle with for a couple hundred years, I don't even see it. I just want you to know that.
Right.
you know, how would that make you feel? You're gonna be like, okay.
That makes me feel terrible.
Thank you.
Like I thought we were going, like our relationship was going deeper, and it kind of, you just cut it off.
Right. So I think it's really the same. It's unintentional, I think, in most cases, of course.
Right. We're speaking to the best intentions.
Yeah,
of people,
exactly. But just to be
even
aware.
Even that, and I think that's what we wanted to unpack was the idea that like people can have good intentions.
Right. Exactly.
But if your good intentions are not, you know, communication is not me talking, it's you understanding. Mm. And it's not just you talking, it's me understanding.
Exactly.
That's real communication. So if I have good intentions, but I hurt you in the process, we didn't communicate.
Mm-hmm.
We're not building relationship, which is the goal. That's this whole idea of crossing culture is about, you know, building relationship.
These one-on-one relationships.
Now, would you say that, like, your skin color speaks to your history? It speaks to a life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because, like, in many ways, and I wonder, and we're not experts in these things, so we're laymen talking about stuff, which is, I think, important. You know, white doesn't define me in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to suggest that black defines you, but it has a lot more significance.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that has a lot to do with the fact that, because as somebody who's, it's a disenfranchised group, so that color then becomes a significant
right, I agree
element.
With that. I think that, and again, I'll just, you know, from my personal experience, I'll say, like, going to high school in a mostly white high school, but being from an area that's, you know, inner city upbringing, and going to college that wasn't necessarily, you know, it was ethnically mixed, but it was, like, a lot of affluent, you know, kids because you know, it's just an expensive school. I will say that feeling like the black kid in the room, it puts a heaviness on, you know, I felt heavy in cases where I walk into a room and clearly there is another black person.
Right. Nobody
said anything. And I don't necessarily feel like I want to leave the room or not be a part of it. But there is this recognition that, you know, there's just something about being inside of this color that adds, I think, a little weight to wherever you bring yourself.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That maybe... I don't know if you feel that way.
I mean, no, I don't. And I'll even take it a step further than that. And I've spent quite a bit of time in Africa. Mm. And some of my best friends are from Nigeria, Ethiopia. So I spent a lot of time over there with them. And I'm the only white guy, usually, you know. But there's nothing down about that.
Mm.
It's fascinating. Mm. It's interesting. Touch my skin, you know, to see what it feels, you know, my hair, you know, I'm not being discriminated against. Mm. I'm not being looked down. So, because I was trying to think, like, how can I understand what this is like? The answer is I can't.
Right.
Because when I go somewhere where my skin color is different, I'm white, they're black, I'm still honored for that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The answer is no, I don't know what that's like. And I think that's probably where most white people need to land on.
Right. And so I think to your point of color blindness, you know, that physical feeling that I can feel in a room, not by myself, but you get what I mean, being the only person representing my skin color, for one of those people to be like, hey, I'm colorblind, doesn't feel like acceptance to me.
Right.
You know, that feels like more, you know how it's like some of the things about you, some of your qualities, you want people to accept you in spite of.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them you want them to accept you because of.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know, this is not one of those things. I don't want you to accept me in spite of.
Right. Like, accept me because this is
because,
who I am. Yeah. Miles McPherson talks a lot about that in his Third Option book. It's a great book. And that idea that, like, let's not be colorblind.
Right.
It's a part of the beauty. And, you know, and I want to bring this into the context that you and I value so much, our Christian identity. That heaven is filled with all languages and tribes and tongue and color. Like, there's that beautiful, I don't even want to say just diversity because it feels so cliche, but just the beauty of all that God's made.
Mm.
God didn't make one type of person.
Right.
And we're all represented in heaven. And so I love how Miles kind of expresses the idea that let's not... take away something that God created.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, that's a part of, it's not just background, but it's about an identity in Christ.
Right. Uniqueness.
There's a uniqueness.
I think it's like we talked about too, at another point where, like, God exists as distinct individuals.
Yes.
Perfectly in community.
Yep.
You know, and so that is just as much a part of our identity collectively as our individual value.
Now, I watched I've really been loving this, show that Emmanuel Acho does.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Called Uncomfortable Conversations with the Black Man. And mm-hmm. he gets all these different people to come on. Great stuff.
Yeah.
He did this one with the Gaines family, the fixer-upper yeah. people. Mm-hmm. And they had all their kids on, and, they're just sitting there. And I think Emmanuel, they're Nigerian originally, right?
Yeah.
Family. Love it. And they ask him, like, hey, should we be raising our kids to be colorblind? Right? Is it really good?
Yeah. Fair question.
Sincere question. And I think it was a setup for him to be able to answer it. He did such a good job. I hadn't thought of it this way. Mm. And I was really appreciative. And what he said was, please raise them to see color. It's a part of our beauty, first of all, one. Right. But then also, not every white person is a good person. So we teach ourselves to, like, we grow up learning, like, mm-hmm. be thoughtful here.
Right.
And he said, and I love how he said it. He goes, but that's true in the Black community as well. We don't want you to just raise your kids to think like just because of a color, a person is good or bad.
Right.
But we want to learn and we want to grow. We need to see color in order to really appreciate a person exactly. for who they really are. I loved how he said that.
That was really good. And it puts the responsibility back on us individually to give each person their opportunity to be known.
Exactly.
Fully. You can't. There's nothing that we can do. And the Bible obviously talks about this. There's nothing that we can do to see inside of a person.
Right.
So because we don't have that power that God has to do that, we have to go through the relationship building process to really see what's there, to open ourselves up. And it's a step by step. It's a slow. It's literally building something from nothing, a relationship, So that can't be skipped
right.
by screening a shade or a tone, skin tone.
Right. I'm colorblind to that. Or mm-hmm. And so it kind of takes me back to our original kind of a thought of like, there's a whole bunch of people out there. If I were to ask somebody, walk up to them, are you racist? It's pretty hard to,
right, yeah.
Somebody's going to be like, yes. Mm-hmm. And yet we see that because it's a part of a sin nature, we see the tendency to want to separate, to see that my world is what is right. And therefore, anything outside of that must be wrong. And that's kind of an idea like a maybe something we'll talk about on another episode of this idea that, like, mine is normal. So if yours is not like mine, then yours is abnormal.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a weird thing how we do that. But so if I'm going to be like, I'm going to say, like, if you ask me, are you, Phil, racist? No, I'm not racist. I'm colorblind is the wrong approach to be taking.
Yes, I would agree. And I guess this is where it gets sticky, especially nowadays, because, there's so many terms that are either being created or redefined.
Right.
To talk about all the like what we just defined in the beginning about race and yeah. racism, right. about prejudice versus racism. And so I think that what I love about when Jesus is presented with amazingly complex human issues, mm-hmm. he doesn't let these potential rabbit holes
right.
turn into distractions for getting to the heart of what you're really asking.
Mm-hmm.
If you're asking me if I'm racist, or if I'm asking somebody if I'm racist, what's the question that I'm really asking?
Wow.
Am I asking, do you accept me?
Right.
Are you willing to get to know me for who I am?
Right.
Despite what you may be able to assume about me based on the environment you grew up in.
Gosh, I feel like we have to stop then asking these kind of trigger questions.
Super low. Yeah. They would take a translator to. So I guess one way we can help ourselves is in these moments to spend the time to think about what is the question you actually want the answer to.
Right.
Instead of.
And Jesus did that. Want me to do for you? He would ask them, even
right.
though they were like blind.
Right.
Like you'd think it's an obvious, but he made them. Really consider, like, what is it that,
what is it that I want most?
I want most. Mm-hmm. And so we need to have those kinds of...
Right.
So we have to kind of get away from these cliches, get away from these surface ideas.
It just can be a little bit of an overwhelm. It's overwhelming, especially, because we've been studying this. I'm not going to say we've studied more than people who've dedicated their lives to it, but...
of course not.
We've dedicated some time to finding out more about this issue. There's still a huge proportion of the population who hasn't spent more than 5 minutes or watching the news
right.
talking about these things. So the average person gets a term like that. they're going off of something that's probably outdated by 10 or 15 years at best. So it's, again, you know, putting the conversation on the terms of, I want to grow closer to you. Mm-hmm. So maybe asking you if you're racist isn't the best start.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, you know, is there something about me that's holding us back from being closer?
Right.
Or, you know, just something that's really more level.
How can we build a deeper connection?
How can we genuinely get together? Right.
Yeah, because, like, if I were to be asked by you, Phil, are you a racist? I'm going to work so hard to be like, no, I know. And then I'm going to wonder, why did Nick think I was a rock? Did he think I am? Did I say something? Did I? And it's going to just, you know, and vice versa. I'm like, how have I offended Nick? And what did I do? Like, we take all this baggage.
And it's a setup for you. It's a lose-lose for you, because I'm asking you something so I can feel a certain way, you know, so I can feel comfortable around you. But at the same time, I'm putting you in a position to only defend yourself.
Right. And yet I would flip it and say, like, I feel like too many white people are doing that to their black friends or acquaintances. Mm. They're not working hard enough to, like, take the lower road on that and be like, I just want to build a relationship. Right. And I wonder if people even know that that's what they're going for.
I will say it can get muddy at times to see that as the end goal, because all of the systematic changes that do absolutely need to happen are based on our views of the individuals the system serves, you know? So if we aren't better at just relating one-to-one, how can something that is only a blown up, you know, an extrapolated version of one-to-one relationship, a system or a structure or a policy, how can that ever reflect better values than the individuals that make it?
I was thinking, we'll get to the wrapping up here right now. You know, since you're a football, I mean, I know how much you love. No, I'm just kidding. But I was thinking of that movie, Remember the Titans, you know? You remember when he made them all, like, sit at different tables, you know? I want you to sit with somebody who's a different color than you and get to know them. And that like, initial awkward, even anger, like, I have nothing I can learn from both sides. Like, I have nothing I can learn. I don't really care. And then the more it became, like, you just realized there was a brotherhood that got established that had nothing to do with football. It had everything to do with, like, this is their history. And I'm not even thinking long history, but just what they've had to endure in their life on both sides. Yeah. And it created great bonds. And I know it's a movie, but isn't that the goal?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it is a movie, but it's a dramatized version of what we actually want.
Yeah.
You know, we do want, especially in the greater conversation of what our conversations are about on this podcast, is how can we as believers, you know, be as loving as Jesus is asking us to.
Yeah.
If we can only do that to other believers who have the same types of, you know, opinions, then obviously we're missing something.
Yeah, that's not the love of God.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
God doesn't stop his love at people who do everything he says. Otherwise, he would love none of us.
While we were enemies, Christ died for us. It sums it up. Anybody can love, Jesus would say, that anybody can love somebody who's easy to love, who's like them. Mm-hmm. But how much more to love an enemy, you know? And our cultures don't need to make us enemies.
Right.
So we need to find those ways. So I like this conversation, Nick, talking about color blindness. It's kind of a, it's just like, if heaven is populated with color, let's embrace that and then let it be like a kind of a launching pad into deeper relationship.
Absolutely.
And connection. So, well, thanks for joining us. Colorblind. We see color, we see the beauty of how God makes each one of us in his image and for his glory, and I'm super thankful to get to have this conversation today. Don't forget that you can, please follow us on YouTube, Crossing Cultures, crossing.cultures, Instagram, crossing.cultures. It's on Twitter, but it's not the same handle, but Crossing Cultures, you can find us. And make sure that you're following us. Make sure that you share these things. We want to get this out as far and wide. And looking forward to getting to have many more great conversations on this very important topic. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you for listening to Crossing Cultures. If you found value in the show, do us a favor and leave a review on iTunes or simply share the episode with a friend. Make sure to hit subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. If you'd like to connect with us, you can follow us on Instagram at crossing.culture.